We learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 the example of grace giving, and we also learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 the exhortations to grace giving. We also understand some of the execution of grace giving. And then in chapter 9, we found the effects of grace giving, and you and I recognize that it encourages others, it enriches the giver, and it ultimately exalts God. And so those are some of the things that we learned as we studied 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 in regarding grace giving. But today, we'd like to move on to a new level or a different level, just one last message on stewardship, moving from grace giving to another concept of faith giving and faithful giving and fruitful giving. And today, we'd like to think about that. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles quickly to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we have a parable and then a punchline. And you read these words in verse 1. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and set down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And that is the parable which teaches us these truths, that there is a master-steward relationship displayed here, and the steward must recognize that he has been entrusted with the master's good. And the steward must recognize that he is expected by the master to use it well. And he must also recognize he has been empowered to do that. He is free to do what he wants with it, but he has to somehow give an account to his master for what he does with it, and therefore his exaltation, his commendation from his master will depend upon what he has done with what his master has given to him. Now, if that's all true, that's a stewardship, his lordship mindset. If that is true, here are the words of verse 9 and 10. Here's the punchline. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. And he who is faithful, here's the punchline, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he was unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. So either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. And although we studied grace giving, now we're talking about faith giving. Stewardship giving. Stewardship giving recognizes that I must be faithful to God with what He has given to me. I will give an account for it. I will have to stand in front of Him. He will say, you did well. You did just what I wanted. You are commended. Or He will say, you have not done well. And you may say, what does money have to do with that? Luke 16 tells you this. If you can't use the money God has given you correctly, why would He give you anything bigger? It is the test of your life. Your obedience to God, your faithfulness to God, is determined or displayed, I should say, by how you handle your finances, how you handle your money, how you handle your possessions, if you would. Here's the truth. Stewardship is lordship. And stewardship requires faithful giving. Luke chapter 16. But this morning, we like to jump from that to the other side of stewardship is lordship. And move to two other things. How many of you, when you were a kid, raised a garden? Anybody? Some of you? That was my job. You know what I liked about the garden? I loved to watch everything grow. And in particular, I loved to watch tomato growth. And so the vines would get big, and then there'd be tomatoes on, a little tomatoes, bigger tomatoes, and I'd watch them. And you know, pretty soon there'd be one tomato, the first tomato that was blushing. And I said, you know, it won't be long. And this tomato is going to be ripe. It'll be the first one. And you know what happened the day I ran out there? And it really wasn't quite ripe, but it was close enough that I could justify it being ripe. You know what I did. I picked it. I ran in the house and I said, Ma, our first tomato. Now, my mother was the church secretary, did all the work at home. So often the pastor was there. I'd like you to imagine what it was like the day at 10 or whatever it was. I came running in with that first fruit. I said, Ma, our first tomato. And she said, Pastor Harvey, have you had a tomato yet? And he'd say, no. She said, we'll give you the first tomato. And he would leave with my first fruit. How do you think I felt? I have another story to tell you. Can you imagine what it'd be like if for 40 years you wandered in the wilderness? Every day, breakfast, noon, and supper, you had manna. Now, it's great food. It's like oatmeal. It's good for you. It's the best food there is. But every breakfast for 40 years is oatmeal. Every lunch for 40 years is oatmeal. Every supper for 40 years is oatmeal. And you finally get into the promised land. And you grow a crop of wheat. And the crop is growing and it's ready to be harvested. And as a kid, you run out there and you have the first sheaf of wheat. And you run in the house to your mom and to your dad and say, we have wheat. We can have bread for breakfast tomorrow morning. And your dad says to you, this first sheaf of wheat, I want you to take it down to the tabernacle and give it to the Lord. How do you think you'd feel? I think you'd learn a lesson from what your dad and what your mom made you do. This is the first wheat you have had in 40 years. You would learn this, that in the mind of your dad and your mom, God comes first. God gets the first, God gets the best. Now, you might think I made up that story, but I did not make up the story. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, because not only does stewardship giving require faithful giving, we're accountable for what we do, it requires first fruit giving. Leviticus chapter 3 is the reference in the Old Testament, although as I look through my concordance this week and as you look through your concordance, if you'd take the time, you'd recognize the concept of first fruit giving is all the way through the Old Testament. It is even found in the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 3 is probably the greatest part. It says this in verse 9 and 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is before they've gone into the promised land. He says, this is what's going to happen. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he tells you how to do it in verse 11 and 12 and 13. Verse 14 is the key verse. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings. He says, Moses, I want you to tell the people this. When you get into the land, you're going to have certain feasts, certain times of remembrances, certain events and celebration that are going to commemorate things, but also teach certain things so that throughout all of the generations, your people will remember something and learn something. When you get into the land, before you ever touch that first wheat or barley or oil or wine or whatever it is, before you ever touch any of it, I want you to tell your people they have to bring the first fruits to God. And sacrifice it totally to Him. Now, if you took the time to go through the Old Testament and read about the first fruits, you would recognize that in God's mind, the first fruit giving was not just for the wheat harvest. Here's what you would recognize. It says in one place, it's for the harvest of all the land. Another place, it says for everything that comes from the land. In another place, it says the grain harvest. In another place, it says the oil, the wine, the grain. In 2 Chronicles, it says the grain, the wine, the oil, and the honey. In Nehemiah, it says whatever the ground produces, the fruit trees, the dough, the offerings, the fruit of every tree, the wine, the oil. In Ezekiel, it says this in chapter 44, you want to bring the first fruit of everything that you have and everything that you grow. And you would also recognize that in Exodus, God would say this in a similar vein, although slightly different than first fruits giving. He said, every male child that is firstborn is the Lord's. Now, here's what you have to do in regards to that. But you have a principle that permeates Old Testament and New Testament. It is this. God gets the first. God gets the best. It's called first fruit giving. Now, you think about it for a minute. If God's the master and I'm just the steward, that would require that I be faithful. But it is also logical that I would give the first fruits because it's really his. If I was taking care of somebody's farm and he really was the master of it, he owned all the equipment and I was just doing all the work for him, would he not have the right to take the first fruits for himself? He sure would. He's the master. And God says to you and to me today as we study the scriptures, stewardship giving requires faithful giving. It requires first fruit giving. Now you say, how does that apply to my life? I remember the first time I studied budgets from a non-secular perspective. Larry Burkett's booklet I was reading. You know what stood out? Just shocked me. I'd never thought about it. On his budget, and I still have a copy of it here, just an outline that I've used many, many times with other people. You know, how much for housing, how much for food, how much for transportation, how much for clothing, you know, all these things are here. You know what stood out? Number one on the budget was God's percentage. I had never seen that before. I'd always been a person who had given because I was trained that way and I'd given to the Lord. But I never thought when you wrote down a budget, the first thing you just, absolute first is God's money. And after that, you can spend the rest. And then I saw how Larry Burkett helped us to understand what we do with paychecks. You get your paycheck, you know what you do the first part? Absolute first thing you do, give it to the Lord. He always gets first. And I began to recognize that first fruits giving is really what the scriptures is all about. And if I'm a steward of God's goods, the first goes to Him. The best goes to Him. You and I understand that it's more than just our treasures, our possessions, our money. As Luke 16 said, you know, it's money is just a display of the full character of who you are. What you do with your money probably displays what you do with your talents. It probably displays what you do with your time, what you do with the rest of your life. And so the issue today is this. Does God get the first fruits of your time? Or does He get what's left over? Does He get the first fruits of your treasures, your possessions? Or does He get what's left over? Does God get the first fruits of your talents? What you're good at, what He has skilled you with, or does He get what's left over? When all of the rest of my life is done, whatever time, talent, or treasures I have left, God gets, or do I first say He gets number one? You and I recognize that grace giving has to move to stewardship giving. That's faithful giving. That's first fruits giving. But I know what's in your mind because it's in my mind. I remember the first time my dad and mom said, okay, you got your first check, you know, first little job, you make a few bucks. What are you going to give to the Lord? Boo. I can't. If I give to the Lord, I won't have enough money to buy a whatever. You and I felt that way. We just struggled with that. Within our hearts, we say, you know, I don't know that I can do that. I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, which you've all memorized, but move on. Because not only does stewardship giving require faithful giving and first fruit giving, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us something else. How many could quote verse 5 and 6? Raise your hand. I think all of you could. Our favorite verses, right? It is a great passage. Those two verses, many people have them for their life verses. Those are great life verses. I don't think we read verse 7 and 8, 9 and 10, because they go right with it. Verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And we take it out of context. We forget there are four verses in front of it and a whole bunch of verses after. And we look at those two things and say, you know, if I really trust God, He will direct my path. And if I'm supposed to be an engineer, He'll make sure I end up being an engineer. If I'm supposed to be an accountant, I'll end up being an accountant. If I'm called in the ministry, He'll make sure I'm called in the ministry. I just trust God and He's going to get me in the right career. I'm not talking about careers. I think that's a true statement. If you trust in the Lord and fully commit your life to the Lord, He will make sure you end up where you're supposed to be. I think that is true. But there's a bigger context, and you understand that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That is to say, look to Him for guidance and direction. And if you look to Him for guidance and direction, He will give you guidance and direction. Now, how do you look to God for guidance and direction? If this morning you had to make a decision on something, you had to be guided and directed by God, what would you do? Well, I think all of us would do the same thing. We would pick up our Bibles and start reading God's Word, because through God's Word He would guide and direct. And He says this, you trust God's Word, and He will direct your path. You just keep reading it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, your own logic, your own philosophies, your own opinions. In every way that you are determined to be, allow Him to direct your path. And He will. So let's move on. Faithful giving, first fruits giving. But how in the world can I do that? Verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health for your flesh and strength to your bones. So if I trust the Lord, don't lean on my own understanding, I let Him direct my path, He will direct me to righteous living, to doing what's right instead of what is evil. Well, let's move it one step further. Let's be a very specific thing. Notice verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. And there's first fruits giving. Can you really trust God? Do you really trust God? If you trust God, that's 5 and 6. You will obey God, that's 7 and 8. You will do what's right. Now let's put it into practice. Let's see if you will do it. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your giving, of your possessions. You say, I can't. You don't know my budget. Don't you love to work on budgets? Just think if you were President Bush and you had to work on budgets, you know. Every time I've ever met with couples and we work on budgets, you know what is always true? They never have enough money. Does that happen to be true in your life? So often as you look at your budget, you can't afford it. You can't do it. It doesn't add up. It doesn't work out. Yet somehow we all survive, so it must work out somehow. How could I possibly give God the first fruits of my possessions? How could I possibly pull that one off? You don't know my budget crisis. You don't know where I live. I cannot do that. God says, verse 10. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your first fruits of your possessions. Verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. Stewardship giving, if He's the master, you're just a steward. You're just running the farm. It requires being faithful. It requires giving Him the first fruits. It requires trusting Him. If the master says, I want you to go out there and plant that 160 acres with corn, and it doesn't make a lick of sense to you, you might talk to him about that, but if he tells you to do it, you do it anyway. You got to trust him. Now, the tragedy is, in your human circles, once in a while your boss makes mistakes. He tells you to plant 160 acres of corn, it was a bad mistake. But I can tell you this, if God told you to plant 160 acres of corn, He did not make a mistake. He knows all the factors that are involved. If He said, do it, and you say, I don't think it's wise, I don't think it's the right thing to do, He says, I want you to do it, He probably knows what He's doing. He has everything taken care of. Just go out and plant 160 acres. He says this, you honor me with what I give to you, the first fruits of your possessions. And here's my promise. Your barns will be filled. Your vats will overflow with new wine. You need faithful giving. You need first fruits giving. You need faith giving. I got to really trust God on this one. He tells me to do it. It's going to be tough. He says, you can trust me. This is not the only verse, as you know, that would talk about this kind of giving. Just a couple. Luke 6. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor and lends to the Lord, the Lord will pay him back everything that he has given. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will one day cry himself and never be heard. Proverbs 28. He who gives to the poor will never lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. In what we studied last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, at all times, having all sufficiency in all things, may have everything that you need for every good work. You sense that God is saying to us, just trust me on this one. Trust and obey. It takes faith giving to be people of grace giving. Now you say, I'm not sure it works. I'd like to give you a couple of examples from Scripture. There once was a little boy. John chapter 6 records it, as well as some other gospel accounts. He was in the midst of a crowd of 5,000 people, at least. Christ was up there speaking. Came to supper time. They'd gone a long way from home. They're out in the desert place. They didn't have anything. And suddenly, they had a problem. All these people, no food. Now, a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had a choice. He could keep it for himself, give it to the Lord. Now, imagine if he had kept it to himself. What would have happened? What would he have had when it was all over? Well, he'd had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Probably still in his sack in the corner of his garments, because he didn't dare to bring it out with all the other hungry people around. But imagine if, by faith, he brings it to the Lord and says, I'll give it all to you. Do you know what happened to him? He had all that he needed. Everybody around him had all that they needed. And they had 12 baskets left over when it was done. He trusted the Lord. Everything within him would have said, boy, everybody's hungry here. I think I'll just kind of slip one of those out at a time, stuff it in my mouth and get what I can. Gave it to the Lord. God gave it all back. Everybody was full. Worked out well. I'd like to give you another example. If you go to 1 Kings, there was a widow. The days were not doing well in the nation of Israel. There was a drought, because God had brought a drought for 3 years to the land. And Elijah, who was the prophet of that drought, God said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there will be a widow there. Ask her to give you what she has. And so he goes there, and there's a widow. Now, you have to understand, it's the worst of times. It's a drought. This is the poorest of people. She's a widow with a little kid. He shows up. She has a little oil, a little meal. He says, feed me. And she says, all I have is enough for me and my son. This is our last meal. But since you're a man of God, and your message is from God, I will take the last that I have and feed you. She had a choice that day to trust her logic or trust her Lord. Imagine what would have happened if she would have said, I just can't do it. I know God wants me to do it. I just can't do it. I got a boy here. You know what she would have had? She would have had one meal. Then they would have starved. What's 24 hours if you're going to starve anyway? You know what happened because she gave? Unlimited supply for the rest of the drought. God did supply all of their needs according to His riches and glory. I'd like to give you a negative example. You've all studied the prophet Haggai. Prophet Haggai, as he spoke to the children of Israel who were evil and sinful and didn't seem to get it, you know, just couldn't figure out what was wrong, why is life so bad? He came to them and said, you know, you guys, you've robbed God. You have not given God what He has asked for. They said, in what way have we robbed God? But they did. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, you have kept from the Lord. You have less and less and less. You thought it was the way to live, didn't you? I will hold from the Lord what He has told me to give Him. And where did it lead you? Less, less, less. Haggai says, why don't you give to the Lord? See where that leads. Now you understand, we do not give to get. We do not have a mindset, the more I give to God, the more He'll bless me. And if I give Him enough, He'll make me a millionaire. He never promises any of that nonsense. We are not talking about health, wealth, and success. We're talking about if we just obey God and trust Him, He can take care of us. He can supply what we need, not what we want. And God says to you and to me, you know, I want you to understand everything about grace giving, but I also want you everything about stewardship giving. Stewardship is lordship. A steward is required to have faithful giving. He's going to give an account. He's required to have first fruits giving. I'm the master. I expect first. I expect best. But he also is required to have faith giving. Trust me. Trust me. The psalmist said it this way, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I've never seen it. We do not give to get. But if God asks us to do something with our time, our talents, and our treasures, and we trust and obey, he can take care of us. It takes faith to give. There's an illustration that probably you have all heard before, but it's just one of the great ones about giving. It's the illustration of the parable of the pump. A man was dying of thirst, at least so he thought, as he was going through the desert. He was desperate. Finally, he came to a place where there was a pump. And next to the pump was a jar full of water. He's dying of thirst. The note says this, the entire contents of this jar must be poured into the pump to saturate the leather gaskets. When the leather gaskets are saturated, you will have an unlimited supply of water. He had a choice. I'm dying of thirst. I got a gallon of water in front of me. Do I drink it? Or do I trust this note that says, if you dump it down the well, you have unlimited supply? What would you do? I tell you, the answer to that question, what would you do, depends upon your understanding of who wrote the note. If you do not trust the person who wrote the note, you would drink the water. At least I would. I'd say, I don't think this guy knows anything about pumps. 1 gallon of water is not going to saturate those leathers. I think he's nuts. I'm not taking a chance. I'm drinking the water I have. But if I fully trusted that note, and I fully trusted the one who wrote that note, I'd dump the water down the pump. Because I would rather have unlimited supply than 1 gallon. And God says, that's what it's like. Are you going to trust and obey? I trust as we've gone through this series on stewardship, we've been challenged with grace giving. What a tremendous thing it is. But we understand it takes stewardship giving. We're faithful. We give first fruits. And we trust God. And as a result of that, God says to us, honor me with your possessions. Give me your first fruits. Your barns will be filled with plenty. I can supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Let's pray. Father, work in each of our hearts and help us to just trust and obey, not just with our possessions, but our time, our talents, our lives, our character, whoever we are. But today, Father, we pray that you challenge us as we stand by the pump, reading your note to us. Help us to be people who have full confidence in you and full confidence in your notes. And we'll thank you for it, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.